responde con el coma, caso y justifique, responde con el decision de la justicia.
¿Parte la misma?
Ah, el sobre la ambiente.
Morning Chair, Honourable Members, my name is Colin McCann, Barry Council Government, in the Department of Local Government, Provincial Government for Eastern Cape. Thank you.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, my name is Anthony Clark. I'm the Deputy Director for the Research and Support at the Department of Local Government, and I'm here to the assistance of the manager.
Good morning, I'm Mr. Leo Brink, I'm a member of the committee.
Morning, I'm Hanif Hussain, member of the committee.
Good morning, honourable members and colleagues. I'm Frank Jenkins, legal advisor to Parliament. Thank you.
Related to the COVID vaccine in Egypt. So that includes the decision as I think about the administration of municipalities. And the new proposed amendment also includes the duplicate of the department of the municipal manager. So the reality is that the some municipalities, the size of the senior managers, are disposed based on the crisis and the information practices. And we just can't find the duplicate. So the provisions related to the department in the area of the senior society, in terms of securing that person or proceeding that. The majority of our proposed regulation specifically is to clarify certain provisions when we feel that there's a need to clarify certain. But otherwise, it depends on the different municipalities' interpretation of the provision, and that is where the problem creates. So, first of all, the nation is to include the definition, to amend the definition of political office data by inserting the word work. Just to ensure alignment between the definition in the system that and the definition that's not included through the municipal corruption information. It also proposed that the definition be inserted for preponderance, just to clarify what applicable conditions are when it comes to preponderance. For example, is it permissible for someone who is not within the public service to be preponderant through the municipality? And then we can look to the description of the funding by training in public service as an example for what that definition might be. The second proposal is to allow for acting period of 9 months. At the moment, the proposed section 64 says that a person appointed to act, a municipal manager appointed to act, may not act for period more than 3 months, but in special circumstances, the minister for the MC for local government in the province may extend that by the reality is sometimes unexpected vacancies arise where a municipal manager will give immediate notice, for example, that he's in some vacant contract, or again, the municipality has a challenge to fill a post for a number of members. So what it means is, even where a person may have acted for 6 months, and within that 6 months they are, they become fully acquainted with what requirements are, what decisions are that support the municipal manager. Because what we want to set a continuity is for that person to be just given another extra 3 months in the face of unexpected vacancies or challenges in filling that role. Because otherwise what is being required is that person has not acted for the 6 months, is not permissible for them to act for another 3 months. And for just that last period, even for the month that is required, the new person would then have to act in the post and would have to be an end of the process, and that person would have to basically start them over in any sense of what is required for that acting decisions that need to be taken. The second amendment is we proposing to include some appointed acting municipal managers in the requirements in the field of competencies, its field of qualification. As it is for a 1-7 degree, the state has a municipal council must appoint the municipal manager, and they must appoint the acting municipal manager under the circumstances. In section 2.8 says that if a person appointed as a municipal manager, that they have a field, expertise, competency, and qualification. And this is one of the things where the interpretation is fiction. So in reality, say, because section 51, if you only say a municipal manager must have the skills and expertise, we are saying that an acting municipal manager is not required by the existing skills, competence, and qualification. And whether you are acting municipal manager or municipal manager, you take exactly the same decisions with exactly the same risk associated with your appointment. And for that reason, you say you're acting in municipal manager. Should be clarified that the acting in also needs the prescribed skills, expertise, competence, and qualification. So the next amendment relates to section 54.8. So as it stands, it says that if a person is appointed as a municipal manager in contravention of a section, the MC for local government must within 14 days obtain the information provided for safety and social check. And that certain check may include introducing legal procedures against the municipal manager. And in Texas cases, what we find is subject to seven states that the municipality must submit reports on the recruitment and selection process. But what often happens is that report isn't completed. There's additional information that needs to be required from municipalities. So the provision must clarify that that form, whatever time in the recruitment, must only start once the municipality has submitted all information that is required in terms of the report. So that the moment there's uncertainty, that the court may start even when it's given any content to court, so that it only starts with all the information is completed. And anything else we're also proposing is for that court to know in time to be extended to 30 days. The way, particularly, I just crossed it at the moment, it says, even when a minister is convinced that an appointment is clearly unlawful, he must, within 14 days, advise the municipality the reason why he feels that the appointment was made in contravention. He must give the municipality the opportunity to respond and say why it is not. The minister must draft the filing affidavit and the motion to the three senior councils, and that matter must be lodged with the court. That proceedings must be instituted with the court. And we are saying that 14 days, as it stands, doesn't allow for strict compliance by the court. So it's actually when you go to court, you didn't have to make a submission for why the court still adjudicates that matter, even if the minister is not active within the time period of court. And for that reason, we will say that in this law, we see the court in the experience of the situation. Our next proposal, the first action period is related to the action period for municipal managers, closely related to the action period for managers that are responsible for municipal managers. And for the same reasons as by the language of the elaborated on before, we are again saying even municipal managers are responsible for municipal managers, the action period should be extended for 9 months, just to allow the extra direct period, each municipality of many travel to solve the problem, so that the same person rather feeds through the action period as opposed to adding a new person. So it might be period that should get 2 days acting, a new person acting on the problem. The next proposed amendment is related to Clause 3. We are proposing that Section 56.1b be amended to include the acting manager directly accountable to the municipal manager. So the way 56.1a currently stands is it says a municipal council of the consultation with the municipal manager must approve the manager and the acting manager. But again, it is only a person who is appointed as a manager but that these are the skills, expertise, competence and qualifications. So it is interpreted that when you have an acting manager, that person doesn't need to have the required skills, competence, experience, and what any other permanent municipal manager there. And again, that exposes the municipality to risk, so that person is responsible for the same dedications as a normal manager. So here's the scenario from here. So the previous section says only your manager is required to have your big task skills, expertise and competencies. But in Section 54, sorry, in Section 56.2 it says, when a person was appointed as an acting municipal manager, appointed without the skills, such contract is not employed. Then that is the team that is a the act is actually contradicting itself. When the first instance says it's not required for your acting manager to have a skills and competencies, but at the same time if you don't do it, such a contract is not employed. So that possible contradiction must be clarified in the what the study is, even though we say that your acting appointment must also have the skills, expertise and qualifications, what we're proposing is that person that it should not be necessary for that person to have the competency to apply. So when people see a manager to go into the competency assessment room and go back to your case as manager to that senior manager. And so the way the point of regulations come to say is based on the competence assessment outcome, you can decide whether you like the court in the first or not. But even the first is called the basic. The regulation simply says that you must apply caution in the content that religion. Which means, to us it seems that it might not be practical to expect someone to do a competence assessment where, regardless of themselves, they will still be able to act in the court. But you have to tell yourself, even if there's a vacant post now, that person can't act until the competence assessment has been done. So someone who is in has a high education concentration, they have the years of experience and they have the skills, but they just don't have the competence assessment. So section 56 again, what is the earliest in the time? So we have three to talk about the municipal manager. The same proposal will be obtained in relation to your manager director and to the municipal manager. Again, here it says if a person is appointed to a post, the minister must within 14 days of becoming aware of such appointment. Take the process. So again, here's the necessary time. If the municipality found minutes today, we have made an appointment, but they do not provide minutes with all the necessary information required. So we are saying that the 40 days of the clock then cannot stop ticking from the time that the municipality has provided essentially an information to the court. So again, I say, we propose that the 40 days be extended to the 50 days, and that the provision should clarify that the time period only starts ticking in when all the requirements have been fulfilled. The as it stands now only makes provision for the appointment of a municipal manager. It does not make provision for the appointment of a manager directly accountable to the municipal manager. And it's the reality that, for example, our municipalities are struggling to appoint directors of technical skills. The municipalities who for over a year have not been able to recruit a suitably qualified person. So what we're proposing is an additional amendment that, like Section 56 are related to your manager, the entity for local government in the province is not the minister for corporate government, should be empowered to also appoint managers directly accountable to the municipal manager to fill critical posts, you know, especially under the fact that they are municipalities that are struggling to appoint acting in the government. The further proposal amendments. And again, in fact, 99% of the members are equal potentials we need to clarify some indicators that might have been away from the municipalities. And at the moment, Section 7.16 makes provision for the renewal clause within the employment contract of municipalities and managers. It says that by agreement, it's possible that the renewal clause may be inserted. What I think is important for the municipality is that if you have a municipal manager, and if the municipality and the municipal manager agree to renew, you don't have to advertise the post, you don't have to do recruitment and selection at all with the post, you can simply renew the contract. And you can see how that actually militates against the terms and regulations. So instead of a selection panel, where the duty to disclose whether they have interest, for example, instead of a selection panel now deciding whether this person can be appointed again, it can be up to unknown officials on the evening to decide whether a contract should be renewed or not. And it's also our recommendation is also in line with the recent report of judgment at the Eastern Company Court said you should have advertisement and recruitment selection process even if you want to renew the employment contract for municipal manager. And for that reason, our proposal is just to clarify that rather than read the picture as like provision for a renewal, to make it clear that whenever the turnover is of a municipal manager comes to the end, the municipality must advertise. They will seek to market, they will see what skills, competence, and experience is available to the municipality. And then, if they happen, even after the recruitment and selection process, the same municipal manager happens to be the strongest candidate of all, it's been up to the municipality to report such person. And just the last one, it's proposed that an express provision must include the fact that for many companies, people will be satisfied.
At the moment, I'm going to speak license and proceed later. One of the changes that you will appoint a senior manager, that appointment cannot be received before the first day of the next calendar month. So what it means is, municipal managers sometimes start the first to three that's already in the public, and then that time is still in contact. So just to mention that time is that when the employment contract should be finished. And that is the sum of our proposal.
Chair, just a comment and a question. I mean, my impression is that most of these proposed amendments are not substantial, apart from extending the time period and so on. So, I personally don't see much wrong with it. I just have one question, though. Now, I want to talk about the part where you suggest that the MEC or the minister, I wasn't sure, I didn't hear you carefully, can appoint. You suggest that they appoint managers where you're struggling to find those managers. And the thought that came to my mind is that the municipality can't find the manager and the expectation that the minister can do it. If I'm not mistaken, I think that COCTA at the moment, if the current department, if the municipality approaches COCTA and if they have a suggestion on who a suitable manager is, I suspect that COCTA will probably do that anyway. You propose somebody. So the question I just asked is that necessary to put in the law? Because then you're almost compelling somebody to do something that can be done without it being provided for in the law. That's the only question I have. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. My colleague raised an important point. I want to expand on that. I think we have to be honest that local government lumbers under a very heavy burden of compliance. And if we are realistic about it, that a fraction of municipalities in the country probably comply with the timelines as they stand. So I know that there is a review by the Law Commission into burdensome provisions that bear on the role of local authorities, but I think that the input here makes sense, makes these timelines realistic. I don't think this is controversial. I think this will in fact allow municipalities to realistically comply with the law. Thank you.
Thank you. Finally, a comment by the newspaper. Yes, the plan is not number. You say it's a class 2 continuous. Yeah. Where there is a contradiction of the X, you are saying that the time limited. But then what is your proposal? Because I don't see it being. And then, according to you, what is the reasonable period that all the things that you are using can then be done? Because we are living in a different world. I think it's all about the scope. When you see the goals, also come with proposals and say, that you've done the other. I don't know. And you have done the same thing when it comes to the managers. Accountability in this one, the same thing I think from the head, that's it, from the back. And
And also, I think on the Sadat proposed amendment with regard to the renewal. I was responding to the police saying, you are saying that we need to just give it to the because I think on the because then the issue that comes around is that there are those learning that also that are comfortable to if we live in this what is the potential for the growth of this academy? Also to some of the then because then if we put it like that because my view is that the contract can fail to put it in a shield of the renewal on the contract itself. But still also then people are saying then it's subject to renewal then it has been just then follow all the recruitment processes. Because my view to some of the say by my renewal at the renewal. If we are going to introduce the things other things that the internal one is, but that's my thinking as well. As long as also the process that we offer to every person who came to apply, you might want to bring your skills from outside as well as the process. Because I think also if you are presenting also in the open committee and you leave it openly as it is. Maybe qualify it as well. Like that. And I think I share your sentiment, but I will deliver it. I'm just trying to also very appreciate it. Okay, so maybe we have to spend the time because that's the beginning of the time. Seeing what is happening on the street, and then yes, we want to meet them to grow this thing. So if I might be favored by the teaching and the listening, I can continue to continuously improve this array. That would be really kind of output for all my actions.
Thank you very much, Chair. So I didn't hear the proposal about in terms of the government fighting attracting and I assume that you have a program and I didn't hear your proposal in terms of attracting students and what is your proposition? You spoke about the managers that are accounting to the students and also have no place on that they don't have necessary skills to them when the problems are happening. So what is your proposal the managers?
Expertise and opportunities. Now,
Now, just let me address that to you. You know, all this that we have been appointing people who doesn't have a certificate of skills. Because here, if you started talking about the skills and everything, which criteria did you apply all the time in appointing those people? Because here, you are taking a grade that skills, expertise, competencies, meaning you have been referring to those that are incompetent. That's why all the municipalities in South Africa are experiencing this money. So how to correct this? But now, maybe if you are an acting manager, of course I understand that the acting manager will directly accountable to the municipal manager under the circumstances of the group to have been there for 6 or 9 months. I need that 6 months and 9 months. I'm not just talking about employing the manager skills and everything and everything. Which criteria did you, if you are fantastic, and then what is it that you want in the then when you say, okay, you need somebody who has got a degree which was, that's why now we are having a serious problem. That you are the one who is supposed to be maybe writing, you know, the letter to the Minister of Education that accounting is a very important subject to the municipality. Economics is a very important subject. I mean, as of now, we are making accounting and mathematics. Therefore, most of the students are running away from doing this to become an accountant because of the mathematics. But now, if we go back and sit down and connect ourselves to 56 so that we can run our country with quality. But as of now, I really don't understand. I don't expect to still at our no. Let us be factual and run things up for the I thank you for them. But I just want to understand. Maybe somebody who doesn't understand. But the people are still taking the issue of schools. There are something wrong. Some many years back. But municipality cannot play like this. I thank you. And as you saw now, the human resource must come in. Because if municipality is not doing well, what went wrong? The human resource must not sit down. There are this person who is working in this department, qualified to be in that position. Something is wrong. This person is very good in mathematics. But what that? Well, in accounting and mathematics, they don't go together. Here we are working with adjustment.
Chair, I'm sorry, with your permission, may I just follow up on that, if you don't mind? I'm sorry, we don't lose the book.
Yes.
I'm not sure whether I'm understanding you correctly. The part that you agree with, the point I'm simply making is this, is that, and my colleague touched on it already, that you know, local government is already, so there's so much of regulations and laws, and you suggested earlier that if that the minister, was it a minister or anything? I'm talking about just managers. That in the event that a municipality cannot find a manager in a department, that the MEC or the minister must then do it. And the point I was trying to make is that if the municipality themselves can't find that person, how does one expect the MEC and the minister to do so? And if the answer to that question is yes, they can, then they can do it anyway without you having to put it in the law. That's the point that I'm trying to make, so that you don't add an additional step in the law that makes things a little bit more burdening at a higher level, that the MEC and the minister must now go and get involved if they don't do it. That it can, that solution, the problem can be solved through current circumstances without having to include something in the law. I'm not sure. Is that the part you're agreeing with?
So if you,
Can that be done now, currently, as you and I speak, without it being in the law? Yes.
No.
Come?
The second thing that I'm on, after some time, what is possible in life is that it's in the secrecy line, which to ask, things that will be
When it comes to the rural municipalities, fortunately, the upper limit of remuneration makes provision for a rural allowance, where if your municipality is on the directory of rural municipalities, you can really offer candidates to apply an additional rural allowance to the normal salary you would have got if you were at the upper municipality. So our recommendation for the appointment of managers, together with existing upper limits, has to make provision for giving rural allowances to attract people to rural municipalities. So I think we'll go a long way to ensuring that at any time there will be someone who seems to be qualified at the rural municipality. If it's a problem with recruitment and selection process, it will attract the first time around. Our minister will find someone, and also by the end of that period, with the remuneration plus the additional rural allowance, it would attract more people to come to the municipality. So that's also providing that additional support to the team and the community at the municipality. Again, a question about the difference between the 9 months of the year.
Can I follow up on that? And how is this, as you're saying, sort of a system where that's why it's not about to sort of get out of the bondage of being a man itself? It's in terms of how that.
The appointment of team managers is but one component of the biggest need. The appointment of team managers is one component of the biggest question that must be answered in terms of the sacrifice of the rural municipality. So we have a rural municipality based on the financial statements that actually are not sustainable. So What ideally what you want to do is you want team managers who are sacrificing enough. You want them to do this to be the post offer so that those team managers can implement the mandate of the municipality. That's
And what would be the mandate to redeem sort of what would be the mandate of this what is responsible to actually take the money from the outcome and what would be the goal to take the outcome the details of the
income. So the mandate that they will have is the mandate that is really imposed on that municipality. In terms of the office of local government, in terms of the Schedule 4B and 5C of the constitution, as well as the integrated development plan, with a mandate from the community is supposed to find the goal. So they will go be to implement whatever mandate is from the community as a successful start. For different reasons, there's some advantages, and I might be using the word advantages to loosely, to being classified as a rural municipality. So I'll use the rural allowance for example. If you're a rural municipality, you are allowed to provide your routine managers for the position of but just based on the location of where municipalities are, and it's also so that we are always going to have rural municipalities when it comes to the distance between your major centers of service, for example. So, you know, as part of the bigger question you have to ask, how do you, outside of the senior managers, how do you make sure that the rural and affected municipalities are sufficient to source and handle? And I think appointing senior managers is only one part of that solution. And we clearly need sort of like to mainstream the question of rural capacity throughout all the different departments and through all the different types of communities that we
do. And so far, how far are you in terms of the last question? You are seeing that the rural area, the capacity to manage and to get more remuneration. And in fact, that part there can't be an issue. 100% certainty might be that there. And if not, why not? Why so?
Okay, I don't know to respond to that one, and that is the last. No more around that.
That's fine. Thank you for
Jay, can I just add, to what Annika has indicated, I mean, without going into the last part of your question, which wasn't just related to the actual proposals that we're putting down. But I think the one thing that is difficult in practice, which is happening in the movement countries, is the practical skill process because of the geographical location of the world. I think one way in which it has been mitigated, as Annika has indicated, is the remote elements that is provided for the current government as well. However, I think that would be probably a debate for another time. But that's something that together with the provinces needs to look at in the sense of increasing the remote allowance so that you can attract suitable candidates that will want to go to this country, obviously based on the immigration as well, and going after that isolated geographical areas. But I mean, I agree with you to the extent of internal capacitation as well, so that there should be internal capacitation in terms of the skill development plan of the next country.
Now going back to the specifics, now let me say the following. For example, SMK is proposing that on the plus one, where you refer to the political office in relation to political parties or structural errors, there is that the position of chairperson, deputy chairperson, secretary, deputy secretary or treasurer of the party nationally, or in any province, region or other area in which the party operates. And Western case, now is proposing that you must accept with. Now the question, the issue is, are political parties having a whip as their top part of project, as outlined here? If that is the case, then there are other parties that within their leadership of what we call the whip, because in my understanding of the whip as it is in such effect, it relates to the whip in any municipal party, not in any political party. So I want to understand the current information. So that if there is a party that has the whip, it is what is very important. Honourable members, the rationale behind the 3-month period in the acting capacity of the municipal manager or the manager accountable to the municipal manager. The rationale for this intention, it was to encourage municipalities to fill these vacant positions within the prescribed period in the regulation. Now, if we ask to extend, I don't know, but if not a lot of the council will be taking decision on this one, that this prolonged vacant positions in municipality to hamper the progress in the hamper effective service delivery in municipalities. That is why at the time when this was introduced, we felt that municipalities should be given only 3 months for people to act, and if then within the 3 months they do not fill the position, then they can request the minister of the ministry to extend the period of 3 months, which is 6 months, and even that period they must have to that position. So if we allow the legislation that for that to be 9 months, then might also create that routine on the side of the municipality to say, now we've got an extended period and still have time to consider the case. That is for the call that the government of this legislation. The comment, the same argument relates to that the 14-day period and then the 20-day period. Let me share an experience with honorable members why we was in Cape Town for this and why we insisted on the 14-year when we introduced the bill. Because municipalities, upon finalizing of the process of appointment, we put in the 14-day period in order for the minister and the MEC to be given an opportunity to look at the process. Not the employer, it's the minister, it's the municipality, not the minister. So municipalities considered what they do now. They do not submit within the 14-day period. You see, have seen the presentations by the two governments and staff last week. They only submit within the 14-day period, and it takes time, and then after 6 months, that's when they present. Now, the proposal from other provinces, for us to have some sort of opportunity clause, that relates to the non-compliance of municipalities for the submitting in the past 40 years. Now, I do not understand whether the extension to 30 days will remedy the issue of municipalities submitting, because practically, some of them, because they know that they have not followed the first process, they give the NEC and the minister written piece of information, and the minister or the NEC might not be in a position in 40 days or so to make a determination only after say about a year or two, then you'll see more implementation and realize that the president was not properly appointed. So if you have the problem, you need them to see to go to court to obtain a different legal order or not. Because now this matter is considered. So the other suggestion that the government can do is for us to have some sort of opportunity clause that gives that force the municipality to continue to take the continuation. The issue of the minister and the MM and the acting MM having the requisite state. When you look at the proposal the way it is now, it says a municipal manager in terms of the administration of the municipal council or an acting municipal manager under the council of the section 54A as proposed in the first number 2. And then number 2 there's a really a captain appointed as the informant in terms of section one. Must at least have the skills, expertise, competence, and qualifications of the time. Maybe in response to Western case, we could read well to say a person appointed in terms of subsection one about must at least have the skills, that's the label to the mutual manager and the acting person. So that will know in terms of the semantics and research of the language, where there's going to be a content declaration. The very risk is suggest that the person who is acting as an instructor is not necessarily has to have the requisite skills and all that. Number one, and then number two, Another one is renewal of contracts. When we are consulting, we consulted the provinces, including the UK, on the issue of renewal. But we said that we must just, as we have already said, that we have this renewal clause is a very straightforward and practical now when we implement that people, just when the contract comes to an end, then they renew the contract with a very friendly fund manager who's in the end with the statements for the past 5 or 6 years. And then on the basis of that, then there is. And the other issue. Some is not here, they won't give an opportunity to can interact with their inputs. That clause that deals with renewal says renewal can only be implemented if that clause was included in the employment contract between the municipality and the senior manager. What Saga did, in instances where people did not have the renewal clause included in their employment contract, was to advise the municipality just on the eve of the expiry of the contract, say, amend your employment contract to include to the renewal clause. And most municipalities then did that. On the eve of the expiry of the contract, there was an amendment to the existing contract, which the employer then can do. Can renew a contract within the contract. And that created a problem in the Western Cape in particular, in the Eastern Cape in particular, in the Western Cape, where these contracts were removed and the public did not advertise and attract suitably qualified people in this sense. So if you are returning to the existing council, they will renew your contract based on the discussion of your contract. So the issue here was to speak to another member and say, maybe the Western Cape is proposing, because that was also discussed. That we do away with that the renewal clause because it creates confusion. So all municipalities provisions when they become vacant, they have been assigned. And that's another issue. The second, the other issue is rural municipalities. Now I have explained that we've got what we call the regulations on the appointment of senior managers. And that also, we've got the notice that the minister every year, annually, probably, the minister publishes for the determination of salary for senior managers. Now that's why we've made a distinction between urban municipalities and rural municipalities. Now, in the notice for the total salary packages of our municipal managers, we have included what we call the remote index. The remote index. In the past, we call it the rural hourly. And the problem in relation to if the municipality is rural, but it is in the close proximity of a city or a town. Most of them will then be nearby and will then stay in cities and travel. The issue was we then sent to the CFR, and we agree that we have a remote index. And this remote index looks at the municipal managers will have their salary determined by the minister, but in addition to the salary, because they are rural, will then have a rural index or a remote index that will then give them an additional salary they receive. So we have that in the notice, we see that those municipalities that fall within that particular index that was typically developed by CNR to assist us to the talent, vision, wisdom, Swati Ahuwa, and allow the leaders to be comfortable. So we are improving on that. We have already conducted a review process now with the principal mention to look into how we are going to remunerate SMART. But as let us stand, they will just allow us to bring it to rural municipalities because they are unable to attract or to qualify personnel because of their ruralness, remoteness, and also the fact that as far as available before we get category 1, 2, or 3. So in that, we are improving the forest to be in part with those added municipalities. So but we need to improve on how we can do that. Because there have been some proposals that we should also include the issues relating to an engineer who then decided to become an engineer in a rural municipality. That there are no schools, there should also be some sort of a social and whatever allowance that is being given to that engineer who will go to a rural area, whereas the kids are studying in a boarding school somewhere. So we are taking suggestions and we are looking at the important. So this particular one will not be seen in this amendment, but it's already what we call the notice that the minister is having for the foreign tax money. Settlement, lastly, one was the case. Settlement. Honourable members, we have that settlement in the Act, but we should look at what we have. We forgot to call the Public Administration Management Act, PAMA. The PAMA, which also has a clause in Section 6.4a of that PAMA, that deals with the secondment of officials of national, provincial, and local municipalities. So when we looked into this one, finalized when the committee will be looking at the deliberations and finalizing this, we will then be taking that secondment clause in the PAMA so that in the system set, it can reach the same as in the PAMA, so we cannot have a simple cross-reference. So there shouldn't be appointment defined all over the show. So when we then engage every department with the committee, we will propose that that section that deals with appointment, then perhaps we should just go for that. Because it says here, if an employee is seconded between a national or provincial institution and a municipal institution, or from one provincial municipal institution to another provincial or municipal institution, the remuneration and conditions of service of the employee upon the secondment are as agreed between the executive authority of the transferring and recipient institution. I'm not going to get too much of that, but you will see through that there is a synergy between this particular one and the one that is in the municipality. That will be our responses to the submission made by the Lotin K. But just to clarify, that during the coming year, national counter and all provincial counter that is present and who will also be presenting, we had a discussion at length, and we are also embarking on another process of amending the rules in this part of the. And we have already received comments from provinces, comments from other stakeholders, and we are engaging the CIDAS concept. Already on this one, but doing separately from the border proposed amendment, but this one is second. Because when the Commission of Courts announced this part of what we were not debating before, honorable members, we had a problem where the municipalities were now doing whatever they wanted to do in the absence of this session that the Parliament is discussing now. So, going through with this one, and trying to explain some of the things that we intended to do because of the experience that we had over the period of implementation of this law, and we feel that once we have done with this, then we can vigorously engage in all other local government related legislation through the system set in terms of proposal. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Just a question of clarity, Chair, just so that we understand which ones we agree or disagree with in terms of the presentation. I get the impression that the part about the renewal as proposed by the Western Cape Grand Agreement. So that one, there's no issue. The issue about the whoop thing, I tend to agree with you, and I apologize, I haven't heard the initial suggestion from the Western Cape why whoop must be included. If you don't mind, please just repeat it. I probably dozed off at the time. The last question is, I just want to ask, this extension from 14 to 30 days, and just how much of a difference is it going to make? It wasn't there before. It's going to have a drastic effect if we're going to move it from 14 to 30 days. And will it really give hooks down? That's the problem. Is it something you can live with? That's just going to happen.
We are giving all our members the rationale beyond us proposing the thing. If you want to see the chat, you see, you say you go that way. But the intention of the whole process is to say municipalities, when there is law that has been enforced, there is a reason why there is that law. Speak to that. And I think that with this law, there the problem that you have of not to see them before at all. This is moving forward. We are asking ourselves that you then get the money according to the idea. Because municipalities have not attended. If they realize that they've made a mistake, that they don't want us to see it, they won't submit. They submit at a time when it becomes difficult for the agency of the minister. You can check the number of the court, so the court will be saying that, hey, this doesn't have been here for 3 years, and we're now saying to me that I must make a ruling rather than not a court for a few months. That's a better kind of thing.
If that extension
to 30 days remains, then we have a
problem.
The whoop thing. So that
but in terms of the directive to say
the appointment process of an MM. Cancel resolution. Post cancel resolution, this is a 7-day period upon which, within 7 days, all documentation is according to the document. I don't understand the reason why documents will come this way. My understanding is when this thing serves before cancelling, everything, the vetting, the clearance, qualifications, verification, everything. It's just like target that serves before cancel, with the covering memo, the cancel resolution that goes to the MEC, and then same time when you send it to the MEC, I believe you send it to the minister. Because then there is, or the other way, it is the other way that the MEC will have to send it to the minister. That's another day. That 14-day period would be fair and reasonable to do a petition. Because it will cover you against the court better. To say then you come later, 2 years later. Honestly, a judge won't know you. To say then revoke this appointment was irregular. 3 years later, whatever you have allowed the person to earn a salary for all 2 years, really, the money must be given. So why don't you then regularize this? Then impose a penalty for non-compliance. Because we cannot just have a situation that's so flexible. People will do as they want. Others are able to do it within 14 days. Others can't do it. It's like the issue that you were raising on the implementation of the basic program. Other provinces choose how to implement it. Others. I mean, the department must also take charge and lead this process. If you are sitting on the 14-day period, prescribe what needs to happen. Post the cancel resolution. Do a timetable and share it with the municipalities and the MSPs in the province. Then we will have one option. Those who don't comply, then they should be penalized. That's the only way to do it.
Just
one
question. The country is surprised to what extent this corruptor go to see to the principality. One, the department then developed 8 templates that was circulated to provinces and municipalities. In relation to assisting municipalities to just check the information that the MEC and the minister require to make a determination. That was circulated to provinces and municipalities. So what they received, that's from the start of the circular. There's the template, the tick, you have it here, up to the resolution of content. And that was workshop to municipalities and provinces in relation to the usage of that template. In addition to that, we then established a structure that is representing all provinces. That provinces for them send villages on a quarterly basis to go and report to COPTA on the appointment of senior managers. And in that, we will also a standardized template that we will use for reporting and also to seek the parliament authority for the benefit of the problem that we are having, irrespective of all the steps that we are taking to seek to be done currently, in instances where our burdens are made, irrespective of the fact that we are dealing with the template, they must submit immediately after the cancel resolution. Certain municipalities are not doing that. In actual fact, they then send this and this of the recommendation. I agree with the chairperson in this, the proposal made by Saga and other provinces last week, that we need to have a clause that sort of penalizes those that do not do what we are doing.
Also respond not on the written letter, on the case proposal, but also respond on the question. It's very important that party has had an office on the
issue. Up until the relation to the definition for political office data, not to the definition of political office. So the goal of introducing the requirement that the senior manager might be on political office. So we're happy with that definition that the political office only chief of selection chairperson or treasurer. Our proposal is that the definition for political office bearer must be changed from the chief executive mayor, deputy executive mayor, or member of the sector council as referred to in the municipal structure act. So this recommendation actually has got nothing to do with the form of senior management. We just trying to align it with the municipal structure goal that also reducing improvement. For the city days. So our recommendation relates to the days in which minister must take action, not the days in which the municipality must have committed the report. See, to be honest with you, there was you write the municipality submit the report, they just don't do anything. Last year we had to go institute last month we instituted proceedings in the court because the municipality simply did not go to court.
My colleague said in relation to the submission that you made last week, but we were not there thinking what was submitted, but really just to share with the team and to indicate our comments on what that Mr. K and Sada presented. That's our comment in relation to that. For starters, we'll add on the comment that was made. There was a discussion last week from the Institute in particular about the concurrence by the minister and the agency. Our point is, when we look at our the proposed bill, there is no mention of the concurrence. And we have sent to all provinces that there is not proper to expect the Minister of Industry to concur, because the law is very clear who is the employer, who is the person who appoints. Because the section says, upon the appointment of a senior manager, the report will then be taken to the MEC and the minister. So, after the appointment is already made by the municipality, and then they will take the process to the MEC and to the minister. So the continued usage of concurrence confuses municipalities, and they put us on commission calls with mayors and councillors who are now questioning whether the minister has the right to appoint and to dismiss. If the minister has the right to concur, then the minister can overrule the councillor and the minister. The main, the correct process is that the municipality upon appointment for them send a report to the MEC and to the minister, and the minister will give the process whether the process was followed correctly and whether the person was the requisite qualifications and expertise as contained in the Act and in the regulations. And if that is the case, the minister will not annul the appointment. The minister will then, or the MEC will then say to cancel. I object that you have done this 1, 2, 3, 4 that's not within the law. May you please take corrective action. When you have lies with the municipality chamber of government. And if that cannot be done, and they disregard the advice from the minister, the bill that the minister will then have to go to court, for the court to declare the appointment unlawful. Not the minister, the court, which is in last arbitrary as well. The streamlining of qualifications, we are saying that has already been done. In relation to senior managers, the principal access, a person to be appointed as a senior manager in the municipality must have the requisite person as prescribed. Now, the minister, because of that particular problem, prescribed the qualification of all senior managers, from the municipal manager and all managers accountable to the municipal manager. So that's already been done. The manager of the city of Cape Town must have the same requisite qualification as continuing as the same municipal manager of Bombard or whatever. So in relation to the expertise qualifications, I know that they will have the standardized qualifications that are. So it's already the limit to read the rule, and again look at the process when in discussion. The other controversial one is the limitation of proxy rights. Father in particular last week was saying that people are precluded from participating in the political activity of parties. And the word that was used, that you must choose whether you want to become a politician or you want to become a senior manager. That is not changed. The limitation of political rights is a person so appointed must not have both a position of the chairperson, deputy chairperson, and the position. Now, that senior manager, that is senior manager, is not precluded from being a member of the political party, participating in the activities of the political party, and taking leadership position in that political party, except those five. You can be an additional member in the executive, you can be an additional member in the subcommittee of the political party, but you are specific. The different action principles of the forum that you have, you are not supposed to be holding a position of a chairperson, but if you are an additional member of the party, of the province, a member of the NEC, for example, can be a member, can be a municipal manager, because they are not considered to be from holding a particular position. So we have to clarify that. It was never the intention of this law to preclude senior managers from participating in activities of a political party. They are free to do that. The only limit is in relation to those conditions. The issue of people being appointed because they are having membership cut of a particular political party. It is not in our law. It is prohibited. People cannot be appointed on the basis of being a member of the political party. And in fact, when they say that human partner, that's an attempt. But practically, we have been told that it happened. But that happened because people are doing wrong. But in law, there is no law whatsoever that says that should be the case. I'll come back to the broader issue that relates to this membership card and whatever. But it happens. All over, not necessarily on senior managers. Local administration, that allegation is all over, even sometimes in the lowest level. Peter Wooten, so he cannot be a member of the Wednesday Focus Study and the Fund Capital's program, he's going to belong to that. The assertion of skill in rural and urban resources, I've already explained that we are reading that incentive that we are giving to senior managers in rural municipalities. What we do with regard to assessment. All senior managers before they are appointed, they are assessed. The competency assessment. The process provided by Center and the one by Saga, all of them are before municipalities can appoint. They are taken through the competency process. We have COCA has developed specific structured versions that are used to determine the competency of our senior managers. I've already indicated that the regulations provide for the qualification, and we also put in the regulations the number of experience in the school that we require. So there is that particular process that we are having now. We also have a challenge now in relation to people who have the basic outcome from the competency assessment. As Member said, the law says the people who are brilliant, the party should approach them with caution and they must be given the opportunity to improve on those identified skill sets in the competency assessment. We need to really look into how we are going to review the regulations to either make sure that people who are brilliant are not being appointed or we need to have another person to make sure that. But the all promises that people are that when we amend the regulations, we must make sure that those that are basic are not appointed. It's only those that are competent and those are not competent. So we can never have a sensitive to that. Sata is proposing the broad amendment. We have said that we have started the process of the broad amendment of the system check, and we have already consulted almost all provinces that did it under inputs on proposed amendments to the system check and to the regulations themselves. So we are looking through that process and we are very optimistic that this administration, the sixth parliament, will then finalize the broader amendment of the system check and the regulations. the issue that was raised by the police and the honorable member, that in the modern case in particular, you find out that the minister and the NEC have written letters to government, to minister of the NEC, that take corrective actions because these people do not have a government control. And the municipalities does not have it. And the question was, what is then the difference in relation to the NEC taking a decision to go to court on the territory of the what we did was to go to all provinces as COPTA. This team went to all provinces and said to provinces, you must give us proof that you receive a letter from the NEC, the NEC wrote a letter to municipalities and the municipalities are taking collective letters. In the absence of corrective measures, you must give us a proof of a court order that the NEC has done so. In particular, with the Northern Cape. So that was one of the competent countries. And since our visit to the province, there has been a movement where the NEC is now taking letters to court for the appointments to be announced. There are about three or four that the researchers should be given as a priority for them to do that. But let's let us then, we are following all those where the major plans to be a letter to the NEC to say NEC informed the responsibility to take corrective action. And we are following it and seeking that it is being done for us. The other issue that I brought here for that idea, I've got colleagues who are working with me, that I don't know if I and Ms. Nia just to add to those that I might have forgotten last week in the honorable members, just before that, the whole thing here is for us as the people who sponsor this department to give the honorable members what was in our mind when we propose this amendment. So that when you decide on the final document, the final bill, you will have the information that you obtain from people who are practically overseeing the implementation of this piece of legislation. And I'm not saying that what we're proposing is a panacea of all the problems that we have in the society, but just to share with you what our proposals are to say to you that there is quite a bit of the world in the community.
Chair, just one comment. I think DCOG kept most of the fuse itself. In particular, on the definition of political office. Maybe the gentleman just misspoke. But being a co-opted member of an executive of a branch would fall within this prohibition, as I read the definition. In particular, B of this definition, any position in the party equivalent to a position referred to in paragraph A, irrespective of the title designated to that position. So even if you are a co-opted member of the executive, a fair reading of this exclusion, of this provision will exclude you. I think it's just that for the record. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members. We have putting together the report in relation to our responses to the two presentations that we made. And I will request Ms. Makini Mugena to just take us through all those input and comments that we made. Maybe technology that your laptop should be so that
Unfortunately, this is not a
access to the results of comments. So they couldn't consider those comments. In terms of the time frame, on the 14-day period, which Barbara is stating and also is arguing that it should be extended, the department does not support that the time period be extended. Because this will also, it will not solve the problem that municipalities will not be submit. If they extend by 60 days, municipalities will still not submit the report. But once council, the report is tabled on in council, all of the supporting documents must be included in the council, in the report to council.
Sorry, sir. I don't know if you have the same report. Because I'm trying to go here.
No, we don't have to go here.
Manager must be appointed by municipal manager.
because they feel that they have to report to members of NERA because he's still responsible for the airport area, or to the council. And the municipal manager does not have control over that reporting line. They are still saying this is not supported. Council is a right to appoint and dismiss municipal managers and the chair managers. The renewal of contract, the commission must be percentage indicated that the commission must be amended or removed from the bill, which of course it has been a challenge in local government for the past 9 years or so. There is even a court ruling that all positions of senior managers must be re-advertised, because the spirit of the amendment bill was that there should be a stability in local government and all candidates must meet the skills, expertise and requirements. Eastern Cape indicated that we must make a provision for a team municipal manager, or the municipal manager is incapacitated, for example, before 6 weeks. They are saying that this can be provided for in the council policy. We don't have to provide in the amendment bill. The appointment extends the appointment period. We don't support that we extend the 3 months appointment period. In the regulations, we provided that a person to be appointed is 16 municipal manager. The first role that he must do is he must appoint the municipal manager within that period. He was seconded there to appoint a municipal manager to address the process of appointing a municipal manager.
Thank you. Thanks, Chair. I want to ask the department about its comments on the suggested bid timeframe. All of these arguments against the extended timeframes would make sense if we knew that municipalities had the ability, the productivity, the administrative capacity to respond within 14 days. So, let's put it in practical terms. The MEP for local government in Eastern Cape realizes that Nelson Mandela Bay has, this is a hypothetical, Nelson Mandela Bay has appointed somebody who doesn't have suitable qualifications as municipal manager. But it's not entirely clear. They first have to evaluate the evidence, they have to go back to see if documents were forged, they have to determine whether the qualifications authority has the credentials. They've got to brief senior counsel, they've got to prepare an application, and they have to submit it with chances of success within 14 days of realizing this fact. Have you considered whether, in fact, those MEPs have the capacity to do this? And I think if you look at the extent of problems in local authorities, and if you're realistic about it, they probably don't. They probably don't. And what I'm not seeing here is an argument, you know, saying, in fact, everything is really perfect, and we can make these timelines as they currently are. Because even, and take the honesty a little bit further, even Costco National can't respond to the timelines that are placed upon it. And if you guys are a perfect department that also ran like clockwork, maybe, but clearly not. So, Chair, I don't want to make too big an issue of this, but I think it is important that you become realistic about the ability of municipality and provincial government to bear this heavy burden that the installation faces upon it. Thank you.
Maybe just a little correction before I attempt to answer the question from the member. The 14 day period is not set for purposes of the municipality.
Yes, you understand.
Doing a reference check and, you know, confirming the authenticity of those men. There are still American regulations which were made in terms of this deal before it was prescribed, you know, minimum documents that must be submitted to the military committee to exercise oversight and see whether an appointment, you know, follows a prescribed procedure. One of those is that you submit a certificate that was submitted by Mr. X when you applied for the director's position. A resolution of council to search, you know, to put together the selection panel. The resolution of council to appoint, you know, the successful candidate, and so on and so on. So the assumption here is, at the end of the recruitment selection process, a municipality will have all the documents readily available, you know, that should be submitted to the MEC to determine whether the municipality follows all the due processes in recruiting and approving that particular individual. And it is on that basis that we were of the view from the department that it should not create a problem, because by and large, from the day that the municipality makes a determination to fill a vacant senior manager position, it takes about 90 days, the 3 months to determine, and from the day that the municipality receives application, they have time to start, you know, doing the reference checks and confirming qualifications and other, you know, relevant issues. So it's a 14-day period is just about putting the package of what is there on it. Got nothing to do with the municipality having to check the authenticity of documents going forward. So we still believe that period is still realistic. But I also want to add that, Chair, if we were to borrow from the proposal made by Western Cape, that saying the 14 days should, you know, in all instances be read with upon receipt of all the required information. Instead of us, because if we extend, you know, 14 to 30, personally from our teaching, they're not guaranteed. But after 30 days, we are going to get what we're looking for. It can be 60 days, it can be 90. It can be the whole year. So playing around, you know, with the extension of days for me is not the purpose of what Chairperson indicated, you know, earlier on that, and we're going to play in the litigation ground. And we're going to, and we're going to expose municipalities to litigation cases because they're going to appoint, and on their basis, and the ministers are unable to go back to the municipalities and say, no, you can't appoint, not terminate this contract because the appointment was not possible. Thank you.
Just in the addition of the discussion that we had with Western Cape, which is a very pertinent thing, that from that experience, Western Cape and KZN, were leading in relation to checking whether support for the local area owner. Then the court has been questioning the department in relation to the time frame after the submission. But I'm very to the court that the NSE must have been 40 days in the court of the federal order. The minister must have been 40 days in the court of the federal order. So the open case is performing that they must not have a problem with the 40 days of submission and the department. But when the department at the provincial national level has the capacity to look into all the representation and approve the court of the government. Then the problem in relation to that is that those issues related to administrative processes that the two departments are there. So they have all the ammunition to submit to court. Receiving the report, dealing with it internally with the legal services, taking through the legal counsel outside, the documentation for signature and all that. So the 30 days and the documents that is very much that then to come back to the next of the issue. So my father will give you information to that that is good.
For our performance?
Thank you, Chairperson. What I'm experiencing in the Northern Cape, I've already brought 3 letters from 3 Coxer MSPs in the Northern Cape in the past. They responded within 14 days. They wrote a letter to the council saying that they must remove the municipal managers, they do not qualify, they are not suitable. Now, in the middle, when it comes to council, now adhering to the recommendation, that is where my problem is. For anything out of the letter, saying they remove that person, council doesn't adhere to the recommendation. Then the rules were active, now the NEC must go for the territory order. But in my case, it stops with the recommendation letter and there's no going forward. Nobody went for the territory order, then the excess, if the NEC doesn't adhere and go for the territory order, then the national proper minister must intervene and go for the territory order. But I've submitted the letter, all three, to the national minister. I've submitted this to the deputy, and nothing is going on, and it's been 3 years already. So that municipal manager is hiring and firing as we go. So who's supposed to pay at the end of the day? Because people are losing their jobs from a person who is not suitable, who's recommended to be removed.
Thank you. Carlos, you want to get on the safe to say, but I'm familiar with the law. We, in our quarterly condition, the comments. That is why I said one of the members here. We then went to call for the spectrums in the normal case. When we said there are these outstanding cases where the minister or the MC has said take all the questions and remove the cases. Because the only person who remove the person is the minister. Now, you are correct to say that it is not legislated in relation to the process when the election now reaches the municipality and the municipality has not set and conveyed meetings to look into the recommendations of the agency. Or they sit in the council meeting and they do not resolve to remove the person. The act is valid in relation to the agreement. Then he says, if the agency does not do that, then the minister must take it. Well, members, the problem that we are having here is we received letters that were sent by the NEC and we wanted the council resolution. There was no council resolution. Now, the last point that should happen here is the minister herself must then take the letter to court. So they can get an order on the appointment that has been made alone. Practically, we have been saying some of the minister will then have to sign also the NEC. We need to look at how we are going to flex the muscle of the community in relation to municipalities being forced to adhere to the directive by the NEC and the minister. Before we can even look at the matter of taking the matter to court, the municipalities should be forced to legislatively to submit. Now, how we are going to come around then, that's another I'm not having a solution now. Say how are we going to choose? We've been saying all along that the only possible thing that we can do, not only in relation to compliance with the system check, is for COPTA to devise a strategy to utilize the individuals that we have to make municipalities to respond. Some of the suggestions that remain, that if municipalities are not complying with what the region is saying, then they go to critical share, for example. With all the grants that is given to municipalities to say, and since after that, they still comply. For example, when we, the suggestion that has been made to COPTA, that the three around is that when you make, you have to make an appointment, when there's a vacancy, before you can even impart and give a link to municipalities, you must first check whether the municipality has a municipal manager, a CFO, and a technical business manager. You don't have that, so you're not going to give you the money. Because you need to feel so that the person must oversee the expenditure of this grant. The negative part of it is that you will be now doing harm to the community and not those officials in that municipality. The one at home, you are holding those people's phone. So there is a certain thing that we are thinking of how we will put it so that the municipality must comply. I agree with you that I know those cases and they are referring to. And I know that we got a commitment from the department, the provincial department, that they are now going to have a proposal for the first of all this prospect.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. One other challenge, Chair, is that the invalidation of the Systems Amendment Act 2011 by the Common Court has created, you know, an atmosphere where municipalities are not complying with the spirit of the Act. Hence, you know, we've been fighting to get this deal back, you know, in Parliament so that it can be enacted. It was creating some
some level through which we can be able to monitor, support, and enforce compliance by this. But in the absence of the legislation, it becomes very difficult. And I just thought, you know, we need to indicate that. That's why this bill is crucial, especially, you know, when one thinks of the fact that we are going into the local government election next year, will be new Sinamane that's been appointed. But during, you know, over the past year, 2019, we've had a meeting with the Office of the AG, Auditor General, you know, they will start monitoring some of these directives that are issued either by the minister and, you know, the MEC to ensure that, you know, people that are not acting are also taken, taken into account for in decision on none of implementation of some of the things.
Can you not think about the
signs that the contract and it doesn't want to. But in the end, one act uses the same.
because the situation that applied to the honorable member, it is well understood that that is why we are proposing what we are proposing in relation to that implemented policy of the municipality. Well, that is as follows. Councillor by law must report that we will have a special council in this room between. And council, for there are standing rules in council in relation to the circulation of agenda items and all the processes that need to undertake. When we thought of this, of putting this particular requirement in the policy and not in the HR policy of the responsibility, but in the act and in the regulation, we are mindful of the fact that it becomes in most instances difficult for council to convey. So in instances where council should convey and following the processes of conveying council and of following the spending rules of council, then that it means that there must be a lacuna between the period of the that the appointment is given. And that if a council is taken for 3 days or 4 days, and council has to spend between 7 days or even 14 days to be convened. Now within that period, are we going to allow a vacuum in relation to the accounting office that we have done? That's the question. Number two, that, you know, our
spending.
Yeah, I'm talking about council being convened. Because I heard a lot of people saying that the council must appoint an acting director. So I'm saying, if council is to be convened, and council is to be convened, there are processes that have to be followed for council to be convened. So in the process of council being convened, who is going to be the accounting officer? It takes 7 days, 40 days, then council has to be conveyed, like, so you don't do it. So self of the way to convene, to come and appoint the acting, and in the absence of the policy that talks to that, it becomes a problem. But we are not married to what we are proposing. We are just indicating to you the practical challenges that we are having in relation to that proposal that we are making. Our view is that it will sound correct that mutual fact council must then take the decision and council must then be responsible for all the acts that have been made or things being made by the government. But then, what is the policy, the HR policy of the municipality? Then council is responsible once that policy is enacted. That's all.
Remember that when a council makes a decision, they can report, for example, appoint the CFO for acting municipal manager for the next year. When the municipal manager is taking up that, he's not going to match your acting municipal manager. Only if they have had policy, he can make a decision. But then, the council member that makes a decision will be held by the council. As soon as it starts to be a person, then you get different lines of who's being held responsible. That's why I say you do not need to have a policy. If you want to put it in a policy, then okay. But to directly, at that point, that's how we're going to make a decision in council. To have an acting municipal manager for a period of time, then you're a promise. You do not have to go and convene a special council that predict acting municipal manager for 3 or 4 days when municipal manager is given. Understand where we differ?
I understand what you're saying. Because the issue here is the municipal manager is incapacitated. Let's say the municipal manager is incapacitated for 3 days. Expecting institutions manager is accounted for 3 days. Council has not spent within the 3 days. My take is, I want to give us a sense of that when we leave the legislative party, we are able to advise another technical investment. So within the period before the appointment of the acting that the council must do, what then happens?
So we'll meet at 9. You remember our policy thing started at 10, so we have the 1 hour continuing conversation. And then it will have given you ample time to look at all the presentations and everything so that you calm this issue. So 9 o'clock till then, yeah, this is necessary. When are we holding our lead-up? Where's the venue for the lead-up? Okay, so we'll move from here to the end of the room. But that should be kind of the presentation issue for them. How do you communicate? Because I need to communicate with the government. Okay, then I think that brings us to the end of the meeting. Say you must come back on Tuesday. The rest coming in the 7 o'clock. Yes, you're not leaving us. No, you didn't check out. So go. Thank you so much for today. So I hope that you give me a question. We want to thank him for the effort that he put on working on this.